Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program is being aired for October 9, 2021. Well, we're going to look at something I have said and talked about over and over and over again, this idea of when we are not. And I get some questions about this from time to time from people who are not familiar with my work or what I try to do to help humankind. So I hope that in some way I'm able to answer this question, when we are not. What do I mean by when we are not? What is that? Well, it is deeply important to kind of get the gist of it. So I'm going to just get into it since we have shortened time here. And I usually like to give a little prologue about all of this and what's going to happen, what we're going to talk about. But I want to just get into it right away and try to help. The first question comes from Jean in Utah, and she listens to us and she enjoys the program, but she wants to understand. She says in her email, what do you mean when you say when we are not? That sounds a little ominous to me. And then she goes into her opinion about it, which is basically about the idea of being dead. When we're dead, then this will happen or that'll happen or this won't happen, blah, blah, that kind of thing. Gina, that's not what I mean. And I'm sorry that I wasn't able to explain it better to you. There is this Gregory that I live with, and he is a bundle of mischief, as I like to call it. I don't condemn him. I don't berate him. I understand what he is. He doesn't get a lot of time. He used to when I was younger. He got a lot of time from my life, and he made it very difficult for me to live my life in accord with the authentic that lived within me. But I learned through my practice over and over and over and over again to remove myself from him psychologically and emotionally. In other words, I let his psychology be what his psychology is, but I don't engage in it with him. I don't talk to him. I don't listen to him. Every so often, I will hear him, you know, battering around in my head, and I understand that that's what he does. I don't condemn it. I don't berate it. I'm not impatient with it. I just let him do whatever he needs to do, and then I listen to that still, small voice within, that inclination for love, that inclination for kindness, that inclination for goodness. I just listen to it. And then I follow it. No matter where it takes me, no matter what it's saying to me, I just follow it. And I don't try to make a big deal out of it. I just follow it. Now, if you do those kind of things, if you can follow that inclination that lives within you, if you can follow that manner of spirit within you, if you can hear that voice, and the only way to hear that voice is to develop a meditative point of view about your mind. Normally, our minds are frantic, and they run around in impulse. And the more impulsive they are and the more frantic they are, believe it or not, the more excited we get and the more we like it. We like that kind of impulse and franticness, and we get involved in it. And it leads to a lot of mischief and things we wish we hadn't done, blah, blah, blah. We know about all of that. So if you are going to really work on yourself, and to answer your question, when I am not the Gregory, when I am no longer interested in being what Gregory wants me to be, or I'm no longer interested in his opinions about what he thinks is going on, then I'm absent of him. Then I am not of him. And then I am not. I literally am not. I don't exist. I realize the futility and the silliness of thinking inside of myself that I know anything. Once this is really established within me, really deeply established, that is when something of the divine starts to overcome. And I start to feel the essence of what it is to be in true love, in true forgiveness, in true kindness. And that's what that's all about. And that's what I mean by when I am not. When I am not going to be the Gregory any longer. Now, this can sound ominous. I can understand that. Because it makes you believe that, you know, maybe what you are as a gene is not, well, maybe you think of it in a way of you're dead or you don't exist or people want to do things to prove their existence over and over. There's so many complexities to all of this with people. My students, each one of them, while they are all the same, yet they are still individuals. And it is phenomenal to me that they made it as far as they did in this world. And it's amazing that I made it as far as I did in this world. And by that, I mean lived as long as I have and really not suffered as badly as I could have. There was this innate thing within me, and I think it's within most of my students, of seeking the way beyond the ideals of my beliefs and my theories and even my own mischief. When you are no longer influenced by her, I think of Greg as him. When you are no longer influenced by her or as her or in her, when you are no longer a part of that crazy experience, that is when you will understand what I meant when I said when we are not. When we are not involved with the craziness of the ego, the vanity, the pride, the hubris, that is when all of a sudden the door flies open. And whether or not you walk through that door to find your own awakening, of course, is up to you. But I would hope you would. And I hope that in some way or another, you can hear this broadcast and understand beyond my clumsy words here what it means to be when you are not. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Carrie in Los Angeles, who listens to us and is always emailing me with questions and comments, and I deeply, deeply appreciate that. I really do. And Carrie, keep them coming. Thank you very much for being so generous. Carrie asks, what is this no thing you talk about? I don't understand. And then, of course, he went on the internet and tried to find it there and understand it. You know, this no thing that I speak of is a direct experience with the very essence of life itself. No thing simply means no thing. My thoughts are things. And when I am no longer engaged in the biology and the psychology of the Gregory, I am engaging in no thing. Now, think about this. All my mind can think about are things. Things that make sense to it, things that he thinks are right, things he thinks are wrong, things that he thinks he wants, things he thinks he doesn't want. He's always thinking about the thing, over and over and over, until that's the only thing he can think. We actually mesmerize ourselves into thinking things, and we make them up. And before you know it, the mind only has the environment of the thing. It can only think about whatever is obsessing it, some kind of idea, ideal, something we've interpreted that maybe isn't even true. And for the most part, even if it were, it's only factual, because we live in a world of impermanence and everything changes rapidly. So when you start thinking about the thing, when you start thinking about no thing, what would it be like if you were not occupied constantly in your mind with things? What would that be like? You are not occupied totally with the things of your mind, wishing and hoping and wanting for this and wishing and hoping and wanting that to go away and this to come into your life and blah, 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 all that stuff that we do. What are you thinking? What is it that makes the thing? Only my thoughts. And most of those thoughts are based in the presumption that they are factual or real. And they're not. They're just simply thoughts. And if they're, so to speak, concentrated on over and over and over again to a degree of, shall we say, seriousness where I start to actually believe in those things, that's when I miss the meaning of my life. And now my whole life revolves around thoughts, turning them into things. And then that is never questioned. That just goes on and on and on to nauseam, and I keep doing it over and over and over again, never questioning whether or not what I'm doing is authentic or real. I just keep doing it, and I do it because it's an easy thing for me to do. The person who is interested in no thing is an individual who no longer wants to be, shall we say, subdued and ridiculed and captured by the imagination, by the presumption of thought. It is in the presumption of thought that we miss the meaning of our life. We presume we know who we are. We assume we know what is right. All of these things we do, and we miss exactly the beauty of what we are. You know, it isn't the who of you that matters, it's the what of you that matters. What are you? What is it about you that made your life the way it is, made it possible to be in a life as it is? Now, once that is explored ever so slightly, that's when something of the other shore can come in and serve you well. So I want you to maybe practice this a little bit. Sit quietly and be as passive towards your thoughts as you are about maybe the things I'm teaching you. I used to say that to my group in Escondido when I was teaching formally. If you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are when I'm trying to teach you, you'd be awakened by now. And you would be. It's really that simple. I know you think what I'm teaching you is meaningless because it is always aimed at the idea of survival. What can he say to help me survive the way I want to, or without as much, shall we say, difficulty? You want people to show you how to remove the difficulty of your life. Your and my life are going to be as difficult as we want to make it. And it is only in my mind and in my thoughts that that occurs. So when it is more important for me just to awaken beyond the confines of my thoughts, my presumptuous thinking, I just sit quietly in nothing, no thing. I am not being captured by thoughts and desires, ambition, pride, vanity, ideals, dreams, things that I want. Rather, I'm looking at the meaning of my life and how it authentically is. Carrie, I hope that helps you. I do, and thank you for your wonderful questions each week. I just dearly adore them. If you have any questions, you can get me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Be back on the air tomorrow with more questions, and I am deeply grateful for them. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.